Amen. Very good singing. Well, I wanted to say thank you, especially to the parents in the room who allowed me to be one of the chaperones on the Christian School DC trip this week. It was a great honor, a privilege for me. I couldn't imagine walking 20 or 30 miles with better people. It was a lot of walking in DC. But we had a lot of fun, I think we had a lot. Geneva's nodding, so if she's nodding, then it's true. We had a lot of fun, made a lot of memories, learned how to protect our straws while we are eating, and yeah, learned a lot of things. What I was reminded of when in being in D.C., I'd only been there one other time in my life, and it was actually a quite short visit, so this was the longest time and the most I've ever seen in D.C., but I was just struck and reminded about how much of the city is about remembering, not letting us forget, chiseling things in marble and stone so they would not pass away. Monuments and statues nearly everywhere. It seemed every nook and corner of our Capitol building where the senators and congressmen walk by, there are statues and paintings and writings, mementos. So much is about remembering. One of the things that probably most impressed me, and we talked about this as a group, is when we went to Arlington and we were at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and probably most of you are aware of its existence, as I was, but what I was not aware of is the soldier that watches over the Tomb of the Unknown is there every moment and walks from one side 21 paces to this side of the tomb, pauses for 21 seconds, and then walks back again 21 paces. And they do that repetitively, and I thought they did that when people were watching. There was about 200 of us watching that. And I thought when Arlington closed that these guys went off and that was their shift. What I did not know is that they do that 24 hours a day. They have a man, a soldier, guarding the tomb every moment of every day since 1936. Geneva, I think it's 1936. Since 1936, there's been a man that walking back and forth or standing guard or watching over. There will not be any forgetting at that site in Washington, D.C. Amazingly impressive. So much of our memories, well, they weave really our past with our present, and they connect yesterday with today and tomorrow. So much of our trip in D.C. was about what does this mean to me? If I'm a young person growing up in America, what does this mean to me? Those are great questions. It's important to share these memories with our children, with our students. There's a memory in my house. I'm going to step aside here because this is personal. There's a memory that we created in my house about 5 years ago. I think it's 5 years, maybe a little bit longer. We decided we were going to take a trip to Florida. My parents were there, so we stayed with them, and we were going to go to Disney. And I'm a bit of what my wife calls a cheapskate. She says it affectionately. I was trying to get the most for my money. And so I went to get my Disney tickets, and I saw how much they were going to charge me to go to Disney for a day. And that's just the Magic Kingdom. If I wanted to go to Epcot, then I'm going to be spending a lot more money. And if I wanted to go to Animal Kingdom, then that's going to be a lot more money. And then I noticed that they had a seven-day pass. And I started scratching my head and thinking, well, that's a lot of money, but we could spend a lot of time in the parks. And so every morning while we were in Florida, I got the kids up. We were going to be at the gates right when the park opened. And whether they liked it or not, we were going to stay there as late as we could. And then we would do that again and again and again for 7 days. And really my theory was this. I might go up to Majestic Theater, right, and watch a movie. And I might spend $8 or $9, $10 maybe even, 12 if you want a 3D movie for like an hour and a half. And I thought, that's a lot of money for entertainment. I'm wondering how much I could get my price per hour, per person in my family down at Disney. And so I'm just happy to say that my plan worked. We got it down. I got it down to like $5.20 a person per hour while we were at Disney. So it's a big deal to me. And it was a lot of money that we put out. But here's the thing. In my house, what I do often, I'm not saying it's been every day for the last 5 or 6 years, but it's often, we'll be at the dinner table and I'll say, hey, how about that trip to Florida we took? You remember the Animal Kingdom? What did we do after the end? You remember Wanda? Come on, you know, right? And I just want to keep that right in the front of their minds because I spent a lot of money. And I want this to stay with them. And I refuse to let the memory leave them. And that's what we want to do today. Well, not so much talk about Disney, although that could be fun. Today, I want to talk about remembering. Remembering God's promises, remembering God's presence here with us this morning, remembering His power and His provisions. The act of remembering, it's so clear in Scripture, the command to remember. It comes up more often than a middle school boy asks if there are free refills on the soda. And that's a lot. Okay, that's a lot. It's remembering. Where do we remember? Well, the next thing I want to point out is the typo in the bulletin. It is not Exodus 3. Sorry, Chris. It's actually Exodus 13. Chapter 13, verse 3. I completely left out a bunch. So I'm in Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. Just a verse here. Moses said to the people, commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand. Remember it. Commemorate it. Verse 8, he goes on, of 13, on that day, tell your son, I do this. He's telling them about a difference in their diet, something they were going to do differently and set aside. It was a day. And he says, I tell this to your son, I do this. I act differently now, son, because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead. And this law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. It was so that we would not forget the pilgrimage out of the wilderness as they were ushered into the promised land. And I would say you and I here this morning must be reminded similarly of the wilderness that God has taken us out of. The wilderness of this world and its mindset and its system of operating. And we are given, God has given us a different system, a different way of thinking. He's given it to you. Remember, you came out of the wilderness of this world. And as we just celebrated Easter, we were delivered from sin, death, and hell. We have been rescued. I could go on to other passages. Joshua 1:13, remember the word of Moses. Psalm 77, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. There are some things that we should remember no more. I probably should add that. There are things that we should forget, at least attempt to. All those things that would have led us away from the Lord. I think it's important, and think about it this way. We ask God for forgiveness. We just did that, right? Collectively as a congregation. God, forgive us. And really, we were saying, God, remember our sin no more. And he says, I tell you what, I'm going to take your sin that you just confessed, and I'm going to separate you from it as far as the east is from the west. God says, how's that? And we say, thank God. I think there is an act that you and I need to go through of forgetting. And I tell you what I mean by that. Forgetting the guilt that is associated with the times that we've gone away from God. Because so many of us don't forget, we carry it with us. We say, God, the whole East and West thing, I don't think I deserve that. In fact, I think I need this. I need to carry it around. And really, I think that's a lie of self-righteousness. Like, I can do this, I need to do this, or something. And God is saying, why are you not allowing me to free you from this? Why are you so linking your identity to the failures in your past? Would you allow me to free you, please? And I think God is telling us, there are some things you need to forget. I'm taking it away, he said. Forget it. Now, we need to remember, yes, what led us there in the first place. But I'm telling you, and we walk towards Jesus, it is really hard. I'm telling you, like when we are consciously thinking about Jesus, talking about Jesus, singing about Jesus, it's almost, you have to actively work at doing something to displease him. It's when we're not thinking about Jesus, it's off the mind, off the radar, not in the center of our life, when it's so easy to go into our same act, a way of thinking. And so there are some things that we should forget. I wonder, are you like me? That sometimes when you pray, there does not feel like there's much affection? Meaning it's rote, it's dry, it's... If you're married, I've been married for, well, this August will be 20 years. And I would say that there's, I think about when Jen and I first dating and the tingle of holding her hand when we were in college. We were at Word of Life, so we were actually able to hold each other's hands. We had to go off campus and then not let anybody see us. This is awkward. I should not be saying this out loud. But I held her hand. I'm admitting it. I held her hand. And I'm telling you, it was awesome. It was exciting. And I loved it. I have to say, it's probably not as, like, tingly now. I mean, I think there are times I'd be like, oh, God, I'm so glad to be home from D.C. I'm glad to be home. I love you. But does that make sense if you've been married? Like, that whole idea of affection being maybe not so, like, right there in front of you like it was. And I just think sometimes isn't prayer like that. There's just very little affection. It's as if, I don't know, I don't feel it. Why is it that our singing sometimes, even here at church, is barely even on the surface? Like we're struggling as we look up to the screen and just be like, oh, is there another verse? Seriously? I mean, at least when you guys use the hymnals, you see it coming, right? You're like, oh, six verses. Wow. Okay, buckle up. With this thing, you have no idea. If you don't know the song and they put another slide, oh, then you're like, maybe I should just pretend to be old and I can't stand up. And you're like, would that work? You know, sometimes that's what it feels like singing. It's just like barely even on the surface that this is real to me. I think, here's the thing, the key to raising affection in prayer, the key to saying that this is not a surface, you know, just remain on the surface, but it penetrates deep and that our worship actually is worship, is about remembering. It's about remembering. It's about not forgetting. There, would you, if you're with me, I just got a couple minutes. Ephesians 2, if you're tracking with me. And if you are, if we're singing a hymn, and I'm warning you, there's six verses to the hymn, we're in the fifth verse. That's where I am in my notes, just warning you. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says this, And I'll try to unpack this. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and you were called the uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, basically the Jews saying those Gentiles, they're uncircumcised. Verse 12, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise without hope and without God in this world. I'll try to unpack that. He's saying, do you not remember? You were separate from Christ. You were foreigners to the covenants and the promises that were given to God's people. In a sense, you were alienated, separated, not part of Israel, and it was Israel in whom I made my covenant, and you had no part of that. You were without God, outside his covenant. Jeremiah 31, I'll just read this. It says, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now, imagine for a second that you are outside of that. It doesn't belong. Those words are not for you. He is not your God, and you are not his people. Can it's something we even wrap our heads around? Imagine being without God. Imagine being on the outside looking in. There's a thing, a book, I think it's called a book, or maybe it's within a book, but it's a chapter called The Curse of Knowledge. The curse of knowledge is this: when you've known something so long that you forgot what it's like not to know it. That works in business as well. When you've done something, sold something for so long, and you just kind of, I've just always known this, and so you lose affection because you've forgotten, and you're so distant from what it was like not to know it. It makes you ineffective. The curse of knowledge. Imagine yourself without God. How do you remember? First, I think you need to let the truth grip you. You not let this, if this is in our Facebook world, this is a service you don't just scroll past. All right, so I got it. And you move on to the next thing. This is one of those where you focus and you let the truth grip you. You think to yourself, what would life be without Christ? Do you remember when I was talking over here for a second, where I was saying how we tend to hold on to guilt and shame? And God says, no, I want to take that from you, and he's asking for it? Well, imagine that you had no place for that guilt or shame except on you. Because apart from God, that's what it means. It's on you. And you try to make your way through life. Imagine having no place for your guilt or shame, no outlet for forgiveness of sin, no assurance of forgiveness. Imagine that. Can you imagine what it would be like? It's like going through life, as Tim Keller said, where this is your understanding, your start in life, your start is an accident, and your destiny is non-existent. Imagine that. Imagine if you could wrap your brain around the fact that your life was an accident. You're only here by an accident, and your destiny is non-existent. This is it. Can you imagine believing that? No, just that's your only understanding? I think, and I'll close with this story, because after I got back from D.C. on Friday, right? About an hour later, I hopped in a van, in a car with a couple of high school friends of mine, and we drove over to the Young Life camp in Saranac Lake because we were going to do a work day on Saturday. And so it was a quick turnaround. I got over to Saranac, right on Upper Saranac Lake. It's beautiful. And I was reminded that this last summer, I was on a catamaran with Ian and Wanda. And Ian is my 13-year-old, Wanda is my 11-year-old. And I took him out sailing, and you know, you're on life vests, and it's a catamaran, so it's nice big webbing in the, between the two. It was great. We're out on the lake, and they were splashing water and things like that. What I did not know is Wanda did not share with me that she didn't. She was scared. She is afraid of the open water. It was never anything I thought to ask. We don't spend a lot of time on the water. Just assume, let's go sailing. And okay, Dad's going, I'll follow him. What I didn't know is she had this fear. So they're on the boat and they're splashing and things like that. And you know, like kids, like horseplay, and Ian, being Ian, he got a little carried away. And it wasn't out of like anger. It wasn't out of, I'm going to do something really horrible here. It's just I'm horseplaying. And he pushed her and she fell off the boat. And I'm sitting there on the boat, and for the, like, I don't see this face often from Wanda, but she was like terror. And she was grasping, trying to grasp onto the side of the sailboat, and we were obviously moving, and so I had to react, and I did. I was able to grab her, and as I'm pulling her back on the sailboat by the life vest, it was like terror, and I had never seen that kind of terror. She thought she was a goner. I mean, there's a life vest and everything, but in her head, she was gone. And it was so apparent on her face. And I think about that moment because I think you and I need those moments in life of real pictures of hopelessness and fear and like, I am a goner, to be reminded of a spiritual truth. You and I were like Wanda off the side of the boat. We were goners. And God reached down and he pulled us back up. Don't you want that memory? Don't you want the memory of him pulling you up? Oh, I've not really talked to Wanda about this, but I gotta imagine that she was so relieved and she was so grateful. And she sings to me every morning, God, Dad, you're amazing. She doesn't do that. But do you see the picture of what it would be to be so scared? I'm saying spiritually, let's be reminded of where things could be for you and I. Let's commemorate. Let's remember. Let's cherish our forgiveness and love Christ more intently. I'd like to...